Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading with verse 14, where we left off yesterday. It sets the stage for what follows in the, well, what's left of the chapter. Let's begin with verse 14 then. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, there is a contrast being set up here for the next verse. The natural man, the unregenerate, a non-converted, a non-Christian person, is not able. It is not a reflection on his intellectuality, his intelligence. It's not a matter of reflecting poorly on his education, but rather it is a matter that they are simply unable to lay hold of or comprehend spiritual truth. Why? Because spiritual truth is apprehended or understood or perceived on a spiritual level. It requires the action of a person who is spiritually quickened or spiritually alive. According to the scripture, the unconverted are still dead in trespass and in sin. And indeed, we all were. Scripture says we are all born dead in trespass and in sin. The difference being when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. Now, I'm speaking here about a personal interaction with God. I am not talking about some ritualistic, liturgical kind of a... there are those who, in reference to the Lord's Supper, will refer to it as being a time when they receive Christ. And this is part of a dogma that has been handed down, usually by groups that hold to a doctrine called transubstantiation, during which time the elements of the Lord's Supper, usually referred to as the Eucharist, are transformed in substance from being merely the product of grapes and flour and water, but actually transformed into the actual literal flesh of Christ and the actual blood of Christ. And if you talk to somebody from this kind of religious affiliation, they will tell you, oh yes, I've received Christ many times. Well, they don't mean the same thing as we're speaking of here. We're talking about whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin. That is, have you invited him into your heart? This is not a matter that you work your way into it. It is not a matter that you were born to it, or it happened when you joined a church. But rather, it takes a deliberate act on your part to humble yourself, to acknowledge your sin, to repent of it. Unfortunately, this is a thing that has fallen through the cracks, as it were, of contemporary Christianity. The idea of repentance, that's something from the far side of a galaxy far, far away, and certainly is not in the repertoire of sermon topics for the average contemporary Christian preacher. Nonetheless, the Bible teaches it. Repentance is essential to the matter of salvation. A godly sorrow, a sorrow of heart that is engendered by your realization that God is holy, that God loved you, that he gave his son to die for you, and there was no other way that you could be redeemed except through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And this is not a matter that you are so special. It's just a matter that it could not be done for anyone, by anyone else, except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But, now here's the contrast of which I spoke earlier, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You remember I have frequently mentioned the idea, or what happens when you see a verb form of an action word that is ending in the King James with E-T-H, the idea of a present perfect, a present tense. It's progressive, though. It's going on. Once the action begins, it never stops. Now, you'll notice the word judge. He that is spiritual judgeth. He begins to judge, and he continues to judge, and does not stop. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, you may ask, well, what in the world are they talking about? I mean, doesn't it say somewhere you're not supposed to judge at all? And usually when people ask that question, they're making reference to the statement that the Lord said, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be meted out to you again. It's interesting how many times people do not finish the verse. They simply leave it as, judge not, that ye be not judged. Boom, that's it. But that's not what the Bible says. And by ending the verse there artificially, it lends itself to the agenda, to the thinking that it's just not right to criticize anybody or to be critical of anything. If you buy that, you also buy into the idea that Christians have got to be, by their very nature, the most gullible and stupid group of people on the face of God's earth. Judge not that you be not judged has to do with the idea of passing judgment on a thing as a judge. Okay? And beyond that, he says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the same measure. In other words, if you're going to club somebody in the head with a standard that is artificial, for instance, let's say you're going to evaluate somebody's height, but you're going to use a 37-inch yardstick. Or you're going to use a 14-inch ruler and say it's a foot long. You see, if you're using an arbitrary measure like that, what he's saying is, with the same standard that you are laying about with everybody else, that you are clubbing everyone else in the head with, don't be surprised if they don't use that same thing on you and find that you don't measure up either. Now, do we have a conflict? Do we have a contradiction here? Judge not that ye be not judged. And yet, it says here, he that is spiritual judges all things. The word that is used in the passage, judge not, is a word that is rightfully the domain of God, the idea of his being the final authority. He is the ultimate judge. You and I do not have any business crossing into that field of endeavor. That rightfully belongs to God and is none of your or my business. On the other hand, in the Greek language, there are, if I'm not mistaken, 5 different verbs that each have a distinctly different meaning that are all translated as judge in the English. It's unfortunate, but as we've mentioned from time to time, there are distinct differences between the languages, and when you're translating something, you have to work with the languages that you've got. Now, in this particular case, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Well, let's talk about who he is before we talk about judging. He that is spiritual. Now, you will notice this is in contradistinction to the individual who is described as the natural man in verse 14. But he that is spiritual, we have the natural man not receiving those things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. He can't know them. He's spiritually dead. He's spiritually inactive. Okay? But, by contrast, he that is spiritual. Now, we're speaking here of one who has been born again, and going beyond that, we are speaking about somebody who is ruled by, governed by, the Holy Spirit. He that is truly a Spirit-filled and Spirit-dominated, Spirit-controlled believer is one who is continually judging. Now, what does this word judge mean? If there are 5 different verbs that are translated as judge, which one is this? What does it mean? Well, I can't see much need to give you, or no practical reason to give you a long etymology of the verb, but I will tell you what it means. This word judge comes from a Greek word that means to investigate, to analyze, to put to analysis, to evaluate something, to test something, as a chemist would test a compound to find out the ingredients that make it up. Now, if that is the case, notice what's being said. He that is filled by the Spirit is continually investigating everything. He's continually analyzing everything. He evaluates everything. He tests everything. Now, this does not mean he is some arrogant so-and-so who passes out, you know, five-and-dime justice. He is not passing sentence. He is not working as a judge, but rather, well, Jesus said, by the fruits ye shall know them. There's another passage, even a child is known by his doing. Well, so it is. We are not judges as much as fruit inspectors. Let's say, for instance, somebody's hung up on this idea of judging whether you should do it or not. Yes, you do it every day. You don't stop to think about it. For instance, somebody says to you, "Oh, here's my little pussy cat. Wouldn't you, here, hold my kitty cat. Isn't he just a lovely little kitten?" And you pick up this animal. I mean, you don't pick it up. I mean, they just practically force it on you. And it's a strange-looking cat, and we'll put the cat in quotation marks. It is black. It's covered with fur. Yeah. Odd coloration, though. You've seen black and white. It's black and white, except the white seems to be mostly concentrated in a big stripe that runs from the head clear down to the end of the tail. And it has a peculiar odor. Actually, it stinks. The ears aren't shaped like a cat's ears. The face isn't quite like a cat's face. That's 4 feet. Has a tail. Yeah, well, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. That smell. Now, what have I described? You're guessing ahead of me. I'm holding a skunk. Now, is it unkind to correct the owner and say, "I'm sorry, this is a skunk. It looks like a skunk. It's shaped like a skunk. It smells kind of the giveaway. It smells like a skunk." Okay? Am I being judgmental? No, I'm just being observant and coming to some conclusions with based on what I've seen. You go into the forest this time of the year. Leaves are starting to turn. You say, "Oh, look over there. Isn't that maple just gorgeous?" And somebody says, "How do you know that's a maple tree?" "Well, look at the bark. Look at the leaves. That's the way a maple tree looks." Ah, you're judging. No, you're analyzing, you're evaluating, you're investigating, you're coming to a conclusion. Now, he that is spirit-filled is continually doing this to all things. Books, television programs, music, ministries, people, organizations, everything. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, it's a curious contrast to what you see today when everybody just more or less accepts everything at face value and never asks a question, never gets around to figuring out that somebody's being bilked. The money's going to build $4,000 air-conditioned doghouses instead of the Lord's work. It's time that Christians got back to the Bible and saw what the Bible said.